In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, amen. The man was an invalid. 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 And he had been invalid for 38 years. He could have taken his pension 8 years ago, for God's sake. Now he's just lying around by the pool, waiting for retirement. You laugh. But this twisting of tonight's gospel is not unlike what happens sometimes in congregations when there is a misunderstanding of the vocation to which we have been called. The man who comes out of church and shakes your hand and says, "Must be nice to only have to work on Sundays." That happened to me. Or the woman who says, "Well, most ministers go into your line of work because you can't make it in the real world." That happened to me too. We go to seminary or deacon school full of passion. All we want to do is serve God and love people. And our first Sunday in the pulpit, someone says to us, "We'll give you some time to learn how we like our sermons." That happened too. No wonder we sometimes feel invalid. "Do you want to be made well?" Jesus asked the man by the pool of Bethesda. In my prayers, I imagine Jesus asking me the same question. "Pat, do you want to be made well?" "I do, Jesus, I really do. But sometimes I don't feel like I'm smart enough." "Pat, do you want to be made well?" "I do, Jesus. But people are really mean and petty. I get so angry with them and I don't feel very pious." "Pat, do you want to be made well?" "I want to be a good priest and a good person, Jesus." "Yes, of course you do, Pat. But do you want to be well?" Man, Jesus must love me a lot to put up with me. Because sometimes it seems like what I really want is for people to need me, for people to compliment me. What I want is to be seen as a holy man, to be recognized for a legacy, to have something named after me. I want to be admired. But the irony is that the admiration of others is not what makes me valid. The word valid is from the Latin valere, and it means be strong. I want to be valid, I want to be valid, but in the wrong way. It seems like every time I do something to validate myself to Jesus and to others, I forget that strength and power as the world sees them are not necessarily the way of Jesus. The strength of our titles and the collars around our necks do not make us whole. The power to pronounce a blessing or exhort a congregation does not make us holy. So when I try to validate myself to Jesus and others too, there's that persistent question from Jesus lurking in the back of my mind: "Do you want to be made well?" What I think that voice means is that clergy belong not so much to the ranks of the powerful, but to the community of invalids. If that is the case, then what does it mean to be made well? There's been a good and important movement in the church in the last 30 years or so in the area of clergy wellness. There's a commendable awareness of the need to take care of ourselves because what we do is so deeply emotionally laborious. I'm part of that movement as a Credo faculty member and have been privileged to be with a number of Diocese of Virginia clergy as they've gone through a Credo week. It's easy to give a Cliff Notes definition of clergy wellness. taking care of yourself and your family and all areas of your life in ways that honor God and others. But there's a dark side even to that in this complicated life that we've chosen. Let me give you an example. I've always tried to be pretty diligent about exercise, and I've seen exercise as an important part of my clergy wellness, my own wellness. And I've tried to do different types of things over the years to break up the monotony, and when I was rector of a church in Birmingham, I used to go home at lunchtime and box several rounds on a heavy bag. It's a great workout. One day, I found myself beating the hell out of the bag. Not dancing and boxing at all, but hitting it with all my might, actually injuring my elbows. When I came to myself, to use the biblical phrase, I realized that I had been picturing a particularly troublesome and ornery vestry member during the workout. The potential for physical wellness became something more ominous. So perhaps we should come at clergy wellness through sort of a via negativa by saying what it is not. It's not about our work lives getting any easier, although our spiritual practices may give us peace in the difficulty. Wellness is not moving to a new job, because although that can change our outlook and energy for a while, we still carry the burdens. It's not accomplishment, although I suspect many of us have figured that out already. I think clergy wellness may have something to do with being okay with being invalid in the eyes of the world. We move toward healing and wholeness in our lives when we embrace the fact that the way in which we are valid and our ministries are valid is because we are children of God. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness, wrote St. Paul to the Corinthians. I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Someone once posed an interesting question to me. How do we move from doing the priesthood to being a priest? And you could add deacon or bishop into that as well. It's a very good question, because so much of what we all do is, well, doing. No matter what context we are in, there is more to do than we can get to. That's the presenting issue on our first day of work, and there's always more to do even when we walk out the door on our last day. We can't do it all. Yet so many of us try to do it all. To do those things we think makes us a good priest or a good deacon or a good bishop, and end up getting burned up and burned out. Donald Hall is a New England poet and essayist, and several years ago he published a book of essays called Life Work. In it he writes about how he can barely wait for the sun to rise each morning so he can begin the task of shaping words. Hall was a good friend of the farmer poet Wendell Berry. And when Hall left the university life and moved to a farm so he could write full time, he and Berry exchanged letters. Berry wrote to Hall that he should not put in too many acres at once. Obviously a literal and figurative piece of advice. And while Hall had no intention of farming the way that Wendell Berry did, he thought that he and his wife should put in a garden. So the first year they planted a big garden, but the woodchucks and the raccoons and insects ate it up. Hall writes, each winter I dreamed crops, dreamed marvels of canning, and each summer I largely failed. Shamefaced, I planted no garden at all. Guilty, I confess to Wendell, I've never worked a day in my life. Who in his kindness granted me absolution? My task, he told me, was to tell the tales of the tribe. Our life work as ordained people is not only to tell the tales of the tribe, to tell the story of Jesus, but to live that story. To be so intertwined with him that we lay down our lives not as martyrs, but instead live in a way that honors incarnation, God in us and with us, God before us and behind us. That is the only thing that makes us valid, the only thing that makes us strong, the only way that our doing can authenticate our being. Live the story of Jesus, opening to him all your vulnerabilities and hopes, all your dreams that sometimes get dashed, all your joys that fill you up, and all the frailties that make you human. And let him make you well. E.B. White once wrote, "I get up every morning determined to both change the world and have one hell of a good time. Sometimes this makes planning my day difficult." I really love that quote because that's what I want to do too. But it's Jesus that changes the world. The beauty of the ordained life is that we get to collaborate with him on how to go about it. The bishop who sent Bishop Shannon and me to seminary, Furman Stow, put it this way. When we get to heaven, God is not going to ask you what you did. God is going to ask you, who did you love and did you have fun? I think being a healthy bishop or priest or deacon is this. It's remembering that it's not about you. I think I've said that somewhere already. It's not about your era at the parish and how they are going to remember you. It's not about your outreach projects as a deacon or the legacy of your episcopate. A healthy part of it is remembering who has taken on the ultimate responsibility for changing the world. A hint, it's not you. And another important piece of being made well is realizing that if you cannot get up most mornings ready to have a hell of a good time collaborating with the one who made you and called you, the only one who validates you, then it's time to take stock, recalibrate, and find the healing and wholeness that comes only in Jesus Christ. Do you want to be made well? Stand up, take your pallet, and walk with Jesus. And may God bless you as you continue on your journey. Amen.